walk a mile in these Louboutins. But they don't wear these sheets where I'm from.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
2 feet in a red dirt, school skirt, sugar cane, bag.
My name is Margaret Gray.
We'd like to hear her.
I don't like another female taking front and center when I'm the Scott.
How many floors
and we listen to the young lady sing.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Yo, we gotta hear Iggy Azalea.
That's not even a girl's name.
16 in the middle of Miami. All night, trying to get there rich. I've been working on my shit.
Thank you, Iggy, and welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry program. Yes, we've been up all night working on our shit.
Working on my shit.
Is she white?
Yes, she is white. Is there a problem with that?
No, there's no problem with that, but she sounds...
Oh, you're going to go down that road.
You see, she sounds urban, is that it? Maybe she's been hanging out with black people.
Now, wait just a minute. Hold on for just a minute. I want everyone to understand that I am a liberal.
Are you a member of the Mark Cuban Liberal Club?
Wait, hold up. Would you kill that mute? Would you kill that caterwauling slut? Oh, I love that Iggy Azalea. She's up.
Yeah, I know. Now that the music's not competing.
No, not that the music. May I say something, please?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, that's what this is all about, but we do. This will dovetail nicely into our Mark Cuban conversation.
Yes, it absolutely will. First of all, hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. I am a liberal. There's not a racist bone in my body. I simply asked, is Iggy Azalea a white girl? To which you replied what?
Yes, she is.
I'm not talking to you, am I?
Well, she is.
I'm not talking to you, am I?
Bud, hold on. Yes, she's white.
Well, how do you know she's not mixed?
Oh, mixed. Well...
Bob, down, Margaret. I mean, you talk about a woman being mixed? That's racism.
Yeah, you talk about someone that's mixed in.
I didn't say mixed in, did I?
Well, what? Hold on for a minute. I'm a general here. I want everyone here to just button your lip, and I want everyone to just listen to me for 5 seconds. What are you talking about? She's mixed in. Forget it. I gotta get some coffee.
Yeah, just beat some.
Great. Oh, thank you, General.
Well, I don't know.
So?
So here is my point. Iggy Azalea, now Mark Cuban, see, you want me to be a racist. I'm not, nor is Mark Cuban.
I didn't say Mark Cuban's a racist.
Well, then what were you talking about?
I was saying that if you want to say something, Mark, say what you mean. I mean, if you say you cross to the other side of the street when you see a black kid in a hoodie, and I'm waiting for you to say, well, I actually do the same thing with a white kid in a hoodie, but you never say that, you say black kid, then I gotta say, yeah, of course you're a racist, but that doesn't mean, man, I share that opinion. I'm sorry. You are not going to say with one statement that I'm like you, or that I have the same attitudes as you, or...
Well, now, hold on, for I just came back. I want in on this. I just refreshed my cup of noodles. I want in on it.
Go ahead.
Forget it, then.
Oh, come on, General. I don't want these people coming in and out. It pisses me off.
I was going to say Cuban... Now, look, everyone's bigoted... What are you bigoted against, Phil?
Who am I bigoted against?
Yes.
I mean, I'm bigoted against anybody walking in a hoodie at night. Is that being bigoted?
Aha. Uh-huh. So you are racist against...
Yeah, racist against a white man.
No, that's not what that means.
Wait a minute. Why isn't that what? Huh?
You said you're racist against anyone that wears a hoodie.
No, I said I'm bigoted against anybody walking at night in a hoodie.
So you're frightened of anyone in a hoodie at night?
Yes.
There, you're a racist.
Did I say white? Did I say black? Did I say green? Did I say purple? Any suspicious-looking creep, I'm bigoted. Should I say that that's bigotry, or is that, am I being sensible?
I think you're being... You know, I think you're, well...
No, I think that's bigotry, because just because a guy wearing a hoodie...
That's true. I wear a hoodie at night. Should people be afraid of me?
Well, I...
Yeah, Mr. Ann, probably you should, you know.
And why would you say that?
Well, Phil, if you're seeing some lumbering figure in a hoodie, I know you're not svelte like a teenager, but you're a large, lumbering figure in the dark.
Yeah, Phil, it would be a large... You would be like a large, dark thing.
Well, okay, all right, I get it. I'm fat, huh? You know, I've lost a lot of weight, man. just because I picked up another 20 pounds.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I'm thinking of the picture they took that they brought back from the improv that I thought you looked...
That's the size of the shirt. See, I got to get some new shirts, man. I got some... Bud, would you go with me today? I want you to pick out shirts for me.
Bud? Woo! Are you kidding me? I could go with you.
No, I don't know how long. We may just go over to Ross's or Target, you know.
Ross's. You can afford to go to a better place than Ross's.
Margaret, I am going to go...
You can afford a better place than Ross's. Shit. I'm getting... I don't know. I've got a wipe. I don't feel like I wipe properly.
Oh, Jesus.
No, Margaret, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Oh, man, I didn't need to know that.
Well, grow up.
Why is it that it's me? She says she'll say something like that, and she'll say that I should grow up.
Well, I think she's a lady and is entitled to her filthy... She's a lady and entitled to her filthy habits.
Well, that's true. No, I mean, I'm just saying... Are you done?
Yes.
I want to get in Clayton Emery because Professor... Excuse me, not Clayton Emery. I want to get into Pastor Rennick.
Well, what, all black people look the same to you?
No. No, they don't. I was going to say... I thought... Didn't we talk about having Clayton Emery on?
Yeah.
And then we said we were going to get Pastor Rennick instead.
That's true, yeah.
Okay. How does that make me a racist?
Well, they all look... I thought the two... Don't they look like...
No, they don't look alike. I wanted to talk about race, and the first two guys that came to mind were a couple of guys that talk about race with us. Pastor Emery, yes, they're both black. I mean, I could get Larry Grover. He's talked about race, but I want some...
Oh, so you want the liberals.
Yeah, see, right there, Phil, you want a couple of liberals that will agree with you. Man, that's dirty pool.
No, 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 no. That's... You guys are screwing it up six ways to sunset. And so that we don't get them cut off in the midst of a... You know, in the midst of a very edifying conversation, I would like for you to get them on the line, Bud.
Is this Pastor Rennick? I thought Professor Emery. Yeah, look, we're...
You shut up, man. I want them on the air after the break.
We got to put you on after the break. Sorry.
So we'll have those guys on to... maybe we'll get Professor Emery on. But we will have Pastor Rennick on. You know, I listened to the podcast of this show. I listened to the recording of the show, the podcast when it drops. And the factual errors that I make on this program are record-setting.
Like what?
It's not really a factual error, but I will say, coming up, Pastor Rennick, and then suddenly it becomes Professor Emery, and it stays that way until it's Pastor Rennick, and I go, oh, no, I mean Pastor... You know?
Oh, you're carving it up all the time. You didn't know that?
Yeah, but so a lot of times you'll say something... And you'll carve it up so bad, it...
Yeah, it's like foobar. It's beyond recognition.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you guys say something to me?
Phil, you know something? You're raising your voice an awful lot this morning. It's not my... Am I my brother's keeper? All right.
Well, General...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not very... It's not Christian, is it?
No, but that is Old Testament, so why would it be Christian?
I beg pardon?
Why would that be Christian? It's the Old Testament.
Well, that doesn't mean that we can't be our brother's keeper. As a matter of fact, I have a cousin that I know you've been working with at the one-man show, Kelvin.
Yeah.
He's not my brother, but he is my cousin. And he lived with us for about 6 months. We had him in an attic room, and we had to tie him down just briefly because he'd gotten out and done some things. I said, you know, rather than turn you over to the police, and they'd say, well... Is your cousin here? I'd say, am I my cousin's keeper? Do you get it? I'd be joking with the police, and then I'd lead them upstairs to where Kelvin was chained.
Or, what do you mean you chained him?
Oh, my God.
I did it because he was getting out and borrowing my truck.
So you chained the guy to the room?
Yes. He didn't care. He was passed out dead drunk most nights anyway.
Well, when did you chain him up?
When he was passed out drunk.
So if he wakes up passed out drunk and he needs to go to the bathroom...
Well, I would assume he'd do it in the pen that we left him, but most of the time he'd tear the chain out of the wall. I don't want to talk about it.
And I'm working with this guy, huh?
Yeah, good luck.
All right, yeah.
You're working with who?
I'm working with Kelvin Miller, his cousin. He'll be on our one-man show, and this guy, Kelvin, you chained him to...
Yeah, well, what are you repeating it for, Phil? I just told you the whole story.
No, I understand. He chained him to the wall, and then he tore the chain out of the wall. Shelley Sterling is going to take over the L.A. Clippers. Donald Sterling has signed the team over to his wife. This according to a source close to the team, and they confirmed this with ABC News. Shelley Sterling, who previously shared ownership of the beleaguered NBA franchise with her estranged husband,
But I mean about a strangled husband.
Estranged. I'm screwed around. With her estranged husband, strangled husband.
Well, Phil, you mispronounced it on purpose, so it makes this one here babble and bump into walls until he understands.
Yeah, really? Thank you for explaining that.
What a dickhead. You know, I'm just...
Bud, go and see if the toilet flushes and make...
Yeah, sorry. Ms. Gray, I'm on my way.
Thank you.
The NBA banned Donald Sterling for life from all league events after an audio tape became public that caught him on tape uttering racist comments to his assistant, V. Stiviano. He told her not to post... Oh, no. No. Is that fucking battery going out again on that thing, man? Here's one of the things that... one of the problems we had this morning is we had that battery going bad on that... on our generator, and it sounds to me like we've got that generator going out again, Alex, if you're watching. So if you guys lose this, if we lose the podcast here, you'll know that we lost power. I'm listening to that thing. The crickets going on that thing. The NBA banned, that's another thing. If you're going to have a radio studio or a podcast studio or anything dealing with audio, and you stick a fucking generator inside that studio so that it starts to cricket when the power is going or the battery is going, which I think that's what's wrong with this.
Well, I don't understand. These are generators.
Yeah, they're generators with batteries. And we have to have backup batteries, and we don't have those. And so it's starting to cricket on me, and it's probably going to go haywire here in a minute. The NBA banned Donald Sterling for life from all league events after an audio tape became public that caught him on tape uttering racist comments to his assistant, V. Stiviano. He told her not to post photos of herself with black people on Instagram, such as Magic Johnson, or bring them to his basketball game. You know, in listening to this guy, Donald Sterling, it's obvious that he was angry at her, and it's obvious that he wanted to put her down and all of her friends down, and the easiest way to do that, because he was angry at her, because she wasn't fucking him, because she wasn't, I don't know what she was doing. He claims that he wanted to, you know, sleep with this chick. I don't know, was he sleeping with her? Whatever. Nope, it's still cricketing. It's obvious to me that what the guy decided to do is just piss her off, you know.
Well, and so he started putting down black people, don't bring them to the game, I don't want you around black people, you can bring him here, you can screw him, all of those things.
Well, he didn't say, he said, fuck. I'm sorry, Phil, but he did.
Yeah, I know. All of which shows him to be a very petty little man. And a man that is prone to insane statements, speaking in private to people that he knows very, very well. But here's the problem. It got tape recorded, it got broadcast, and now nobody is willing to believe that those statements were spoken strictly as a way of hurting her feelings and attacking and making her feel pain. No one is willing to, not no one, but not, a lot of people are not willing to believe that. A lot of people are willing to believe that he is just flat, he is a racist. Now, Sterling says, no, I'm not. You know what? I don't think he is either, but I think the guy made some pretty hateful comments in the midst of his anger that have now gone into the public forum, and you can't take those back, and you're never going to be able to convince anybody that, oh, I was just angry. I know he said that, and I know that any man who is listening right now, white or black, any man listening right now, white or black, any woman for that matter, you know that you've had conversations and you've been angry with someone that you loved or cared about, and you know that you've tried your very best at times to hurt that person with your words. And you'll say some really hateful things. Now, imagine if a tape recorder was going, yes, bang. Does that make you racist? Probably not. Are you going to have to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune if that gets public? You goddamn right. Is it unfair? Maybe. Should you have been smarter and not said those things? Probably not. You have a right to expect privacy. But who is this chick? And she was recording you. Did you know she was recording you? I don't think he ever said he didn't. I think he's fucking lying on that one, man. I think he knew that she was recording him. Well, right now, we are hearing a cricket cricketing, and that means we're going to have a generator go out on us here at some point. But we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do have Pastor William Rennick to talk with us about Mark Cuban and the whole idea of a black kid walking down the street wearing a white hoodie, or a white kid going down the street with a black hoodie, or somebody's going down the street doing something. We'll figure it out when we come back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Here is Amity Affliction and Don't Lean on Me. Don't forget, a backstage pass is the way that you can enjoy this radio show 24/7 with podcasts, with audio, with thousands of hours of archived audio, with the grooviness that it is. The Phil Henry Show, PhilHenryShow.com. Oh my God, are you all right? Yeah, I ran head on into Amity Affliction here.
World famous Phil Henry Show on El Pacifico.
Gargle with Spencer's. Is your breath something that can't even be imagined? Well, this early in the morning, of course it is. This is General Galen Shaw recommending Spencer's mouthwash. It's made from the very fresh pines of the Northwest, combined with the wonderful eucalyptus trees of Australia and California. We throw in a little French perfume from a cat house. Your breath will smell so sweet, no one will want to kiss you. They'll just want to sit and enjoy the fresh air coming out of your mouth. Let the ocean take me. Woo! Yes, it's Spencer's mouthwash for all your funky mouth needs.
Or you can try brushing.
Available at CVS pharmacies.
Oh, shut up.
You think I turn a blind eye? You think I'm just like them? It breaks my heart. All this sorry brings me to tears. All this grief. And I feel so fucking helpless when I can't be your relief.
Oh, well, don't lean on me, cause I am falling. Please don't fall with me.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. You know, it's funny when you don't have glasses, it's funny what you think you're seeing.
What?
I'm reading a headline here without my glasses. Was Landon Donovan the biggest anus on the U.S. World Cup team? Actually, it was Landon Donovan the biggest anus on the U.S. World Cup roster. But when I put my glasses on, I realized it says, was Landon Donovan the biggest snub?
And from that, you got anus.
Well, without my glasses, yeah. So I'm reading, God, they certainly are getting liberal.
Well, you know something, Phil, these days they'll put out a headline. This is no big thing, but where Patsy and I live, you know, we live over there in Bertelsen, right there in Bertelsen Cove down near Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
And our home, well, we have a little flyer, a little newspaper, the Bertelsen Cove, it's Bertelsen Cove Blue Bull.
It's the Bugle.
I'm sorry, it's the Bertelsen Cove Bugle. And they had a headline, Retired General Shaw acts like an asshole when he tells the homeowners or so, some kind of thing, to get the sprinklers. Yeah, all I said to those numbnuts was, would you get the sprinklers so we're not watering the street?
Well, this is a homeowners association problem.
Yeah, no, I don't want to talk to that Dooley. You bring her on the air, and I swear to God, if you bring her on the air, I'll spontaneously lose a testicle. There's that scumbag there.
Yeah, that's that guy who, oh, this guy is vile. This guy is taking pictures with her like she's his girlfriend. Oh, man. What kind of a scumbag are you, man? You kidnap a girl, you rape her as a minor, she has a baby. Now, what is this? Oh, this is Michelle Knight. She has a baby. You've raped this girl. You've kept her captive for 10 years. You've given her drugs. And now you're living with her, and you're taking pictures with her at Disneyland with your ugly-ass face. Thank God they pixelated the girl's face so that no one will ever know that she was with this scumbag. And now they are, I don't know, it's pretty weird.
Well, is this the Michelle Knight right here?
Yeah, this is the Michelle Knight interview that they did on CNN. She was one of the three women that was kidnapped by that scumbag Castro. Did that guy kill himself?
That Ariel Castro?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to find all this shit out because, you know, the state of Ohio has not a very good record when it comes to some of these serial killer and serial criminal types remaining alive in you know, incarceration. But I don't know whether this guy... Webb. I don't know if this cat... Yeah, he did. He killed himself. In 2013, he was charged with committed suicide. This is what these people will do. They are psychopaths, and they commit suicide as the last act of control. And this is the state of Ohio, and Ohio has lost at least two other in the last 2 years. Last 2 to 3 years, they've lost two other serious psychopathic alleged criminals to suicide. One of them was that Israel motherfucker. What was that guy's name?
Yeah, forget that guy's a guy, serial killer and everything.
Well, that Bud tell me nothing, man.
Yeah, no, I know Bud. He was, and he was, this guy was way, way out there, man. This cat, this guy was almost like a, just a freaky genius because he had studied other serial killers and how they got caught. And he found out that, you know, one of the ways that police catch serial killers is by identifying them as hunting in their comfort zone. So most serial killers will, quote, hunt in an area around where they live. What did this guy do? He put a kill kit in upstate New York. This guy lived in Alaska or something, man.
Who is this man?
This Israel dude, I forget who. In any event, this guy put a kill kit in upstate New York, and then he would fly there and get his murder weapons and then go out and kill people. So, and then I think he had another one in another state. So what they did is essentially, you know, he tried to throw the cops off that way. The whole story. And anyway, this guy wound up killing himself in his jail cell too, Ohio. So I'm not criticizing the Ohio police or the Ohio bailiffs or whoever the hell. But, you know, you guys want to keep an eye on some of these guys? You know, just, he hung himself in his cell, this Castro guy, because obviously he had the means to do it.
Yes, but what about the idea that this guy, you see, this scumbag, well, it saves us the time and trouble.
No. Let me tell you, when that guy gets away with that, when any psychopath gets away with killing themselves, they have robbed us of an opportunity to judge them, to be the final judge in their, not them, we, society, send a message clearly, we're in control of you now, you are being judged. And then the next thing that needs to be done is they need to be put to death, because a piece of garbage like this is going to go into the prison system, and the first thing he's going to do is try to look around and see what he can manipulate, what he can control, who he can own, who he can buy, how he can make life the way he wants it to be. That's what they do. And they wind up conning another con. You know, they wind up screwing with another inmate. They wind up screwing with the guards. They'll do anything they can to get control over the situation. And if ever a guy is deserving of death, it's your average garden variety, every day, no fuss, no muss, available now at Sears, psychopath. I'm kidding about the Sears part.
Yay.
Thank you. All right. But this poor child here is on TV right now, this Michelle Knight. And then you have, of course, this garbage pit guy that just kidnapped this girl. They found him, this Isidro, whatever the hell his name is.
What is his name?
Sanya Sidro.
No, it ain't Sanya Sidro.
I thought, well, that's what you just said.
No, I didn't. I said it's Isidro something. I don't know what his... What do you mean Sanya Sidro?
I thought he was named after the town in where is it up in San... It's way up there in San Barbara.
No, it's in Santa Diego.
Santa Diego, huh? Okay.
What?
What's wrong with that?
Are you two clowns? Are you serious? Are you two guys sharing the same big shoes and the same grease paint? Or do you come on at different times?
What the hell is she talking
about? What do you mean, Santa Diego? San Diego?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what the, I don't understand.
Hey, bud, it's called Santa Barbara and San Diego, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Boy, I'll tell you, Henry, you know, it's as if you don't even make a mistake.
No, this one's on you guys. You two fools are sitting there talking about Santa Diego. Woo-hoo! Wow.
All right.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that one, General. And, Bud, everybody knows you're dumb. Why do you make it worse? You think a guy like you, as dumb as you are, you try to improve the situation so people say, hey, he's not as dumb as I thought. In fact, he's getting more or less dumb.
Getting more or less dumb is my goal.
All right, then try. If you want to get more or less dumb, you ought to work on it.
What do you jackasses mean, more or less dumb?
All right. Thank you. So, Pastor William Rennick is going to join us from Joyful Union Congregation in the... that's music, bud.
Sorry.
Pastor William Rennick is going to join us in the beautiful town. We don't need the... there it is. Pastor Rennick, sorry, are you there? Pastor Rennick, are you there? That's great, bud.
Hey, Pastor Rennick. Oh, yeah, we got to go to you and everything. You're doing what?
Are you there, Phil?
I'm right here, Pastor.
Yeah, I was looking up more or less dumb. I don't know if that... Are you kidding me or something like that, Robert?
What, Bob, what?
You can't say the man is more or less dumb.
I thought he said more or less.
No, he said, man, you got to be more or less dumb.
Not talking about Bud.
I know you're talking about Bud. You can't say that a man is going to become... I don't want to be as dumb as I am. So one of these days, I'm going to try to be more or less dumb. You understand?
No, I don't.
Now, forget it. So, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. No, I understand what he's saying. I'll talk to you guys later about it.
Yeah, but I mean, sounded all right to me.
Yeah, we're communicating.
Yeah, you two guys communicate fine. There's nothing wrong with the way you guys communicate. I'm sure you guys understand each other perfectly. You probably understand each other underwater. You could probably be sitting there underwater, Robert, going, and man, but understand you, right?
Well, that's not fair. Make it sound like I got something in my mouth.
I'm not saying you got anything in your mouth. I'm saying... You'd be underwater, never mind.
Yeah, why don't you just go ahead, Pastor? We're interested in hearing what you think about Cuban.
Phil wanted me on the program this morning to talk about this, and I'm very happy to come on the program, Phil. I have to tell you that I understand what Mark Cuban's saying. Now, I don't necessarily agree with you that he's a racist. I think what he's more or less saying is that there are certain symbols of danger, and he is a victim of the being symbolized, you know, the symbolism. He being symbolized, there's a symbol, and I'm not talking about the kind that you play drums with, because I know Bud is probably looking that up now.
Yeah, I was actually looking around for one.
Looking around for what?
He's such a dumbass, he's probably looking for a symbol, like a Zildjian symbol. I'm talking about a symbol as in the flag, you know?
All right.
You were looking around for a symbol like in a drum kit?
Yeah, let's see something that talk about that.
Yeah, that's what he said he's going to do. Now, here's what I want you to know. I think Mark Cuban a good man. I think you're a good man, Phil. I think you're right when you say, well, hell, I'm going to be walking down the street, I'm going to be afraid of some kid in a hoodie. I'm going to be afraid of a kid in a hoodie. But does that make you bigot against a kid? Yeah. What's that make you?
Well, no, I mean, anybody in a hoodie, if it's in the middle of the night, how am I going to know who the hell is in it? If I see somebody walking toward me in a hoodie, I'll give you an example, okay?
All right, go ahead.
I'm walking on the beach. A couple of years ago, it was a nighttime. I was taking a walk. I left my house. I walked way down to the jetty. And by the time I got down to the jetty, it was night. It was dark. And I rounded this corner, and I'm going to go back down onto the street away from the beach. And up this walkway comes this dude in a black hood, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he's walking with real purpose coming right toward me. And I remember thinking in that moment, I was pissed off, and the reason why I was pissed off is because I thought, how dare that guy wear that at night? Doesn't he know that's going to freak people out? And that was my first thought. My second thought was, I'd be dead now if that guy...
Yeah, but why do you assume the man, just because he's in a hoodie, he going to do anything?
Yeah, see, that's the point right there, Montgomery.
Now, that's good. That's a good question. And the answer to that question is a simple, he was wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, so you were bigoted against a man in a hoodie.
But it wasn't because the guy was... I don't even know what color he was. It was dark.
You couldn't see inside a hood?
Did you see a face? When he smiled, did it light up like, you know, shut up, man.
All right, but go watch that, okay? Just because we're going to smile at night, light everything up?
No, he didn't smile. I couldn't tell. I honestly couldn't tell. White, black, I don't know who it was. It was a guy in a hoodie. And given the neighborhood, probably white, you know, or Hispanic. So, you know, but bigoted against a guy in a hoodie? Yeah, I plead guilty.
You know, the man in a hoodie, and that's the kind of bigot. That's Mark, what's the guy's name?
Cuban.
Mark Cuban, that's what are you getting pissed at me for?
Well, you don't know who this Cuban guy is. He owns the Dallas, he owns that Dallas hockey team as the,
It's the basketball team. Excuse me, I didn't turn the mic down fast enough.
Yeah, I heard that. It's the basketball team.
All right.
All right, so what about it?
Well, who is he?
Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say what he's saying to you is you're bigoted against a man in a hoodie. So that's bigotry.
Yeah, all right, it's bigotry, but he didn't mean... I don't think he meant that. I think he meant racial, because he said black kid in a hoodie. Now, look, I don't want to make a big deal out of it. Mark Cuban has far more of a reach in terms of publicity and in terms of getting his getting the word out and people understanding, you know, what it is. If he wants people to believe a certain thing, he'll get them to believe that because he's got that power. And there you go. But I'm just telling you, for whoever's listening, when a guy says, you know... when a guy is saying that he is bigoted against people in a hoodie, then this is distracting as hell to me.
What's going on there?
I got this freaking cricket in my ear, man. This thing is like beep, 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 beep.
Man, go take a look at it.
Yeah.
You say Mark Cuban is a what?
Mark Cuban's a what?
You talk about a cricket.
No, Mark Cuban is a guy that is said something that on face is a racist statement. I'm afraid of a black kid in a hoodie.
Yeah, but he said he crossed the street and he sees a white guy with tattoos.
Then why did he even put race into it, man? What has that got to do with anything?
Because he's trying to say that no matter what the color of the person, if they look dangerous, they look dangerous. So he's going to cross the street, see people...
Okay, then why is that bigotry?
Why is what?
Then why does he say that he's being a bigot? If he's just avoiding people that look dangerous, why is that bigotry?
Well, he's profiling.
Oh, he's profiling. So we have bigotry, we have racism, we have All right, we got to take a break here, and I'm going to take this generator that we have in the studio, and I'm going to throw it into the street just ahead of one of those big, like one of those street cleaners that comes down the street, something like that.
No, I don't want that to do it.
I'm going to throw it in front of something, something big and heavy. Maybe that lady that walks her dog. I'm kidding. All right, we'll be back here in the field. Thank you very much, Pastor Rennick.
Yeah, all right, Bill. You understand what I mean about being bigoted? That means that you are bigoted against a man who is in a hoodie with tattoos and is black. But you are racist if you're against a man that has no tattoos, a business suit, and well, no, wait. You are...
All right, well, let's work on that, okay?
I don't have nothing to work on, man. You want to work on something, you work on this. Work on the fact that you... I'll get back.
All right, we'll be back here in a Phil Henry Show. And see, this happens every time Cuban opens his yap about something like this. Every time he opens his yap about something, he is able to weasel his way out of it. You know, he's able to say, well, you know, what I really meant was, you remember that whole thing that went down with Kobe Bryant?
Well, he said that it was good for the NBA.
He said the Kobe Bryant thing was good for the NBA. Now, think about that. And there's a lot of people that think they're brain surgeons right now. Say, oh, Henry, don't you get it? Now, hold on for a minute. To say that a player, a star player, being accused of rape is going to be good for the promotion of the league, all right, is like basically saying the Donald Sterling situation is good for the league. In other words, whatever notoriety, good or bad, it's good for the league. And I'm sure that if he thought about that, he would probably say, what have I done? And why am I a dumbass? And I gotta work on being more or less dumb. All right, Phil Henry Show, yeah. YG here. And who do you love? With Drake. We'll be right back. That cricket's gotta be on, man.
I'm that nigga with the plugs. I'm the nigga who got homies that be selling.
World famous Phil Henry Show. I'm General Galen Shaw. Go ahead, climb over that thing and come at me.
I'm that nigga. My Bank of America account got six figures. I'm that nigga on the block. Police pull up. I'm tryna stash the Glock. You that nigga on the low low. You the nigga, you're the one that be talking to the po-pos. Poor shittin' on 4Gs. Niggas can't afford these. The Panamera shittin' on a 911. I call my homies not 911. I'm that nigga with the juice, but I never do my nigga like Pac. Bitch, who do you love? Bitch, who do you love? Bitch, who do you love?
All right. Yeah.
Bitch, who do you love?
All right. Yeah.
Bitch, who do you love?
I got a shorty named Texas Sin. She got a buddy named Young JB. And now you know the deal. We turned up in the studio late night. That's why the song cologne's that your hair color real tight.
Are you bigoted against this guy?
No, I'm not bigoted against this. I enjoy the shit out of this. I love this. I want more of this.
He just rolled through, eating crab out of Malibu and Nobu. A lot of fools putting salt in the game until these women get the notion that they running the game. They got money that they jumping on the pole to make. Did the model took a flight to the Golden State. I'm the general, just making sure my soldier's straight. Had to leave my nigga home, he got an open case. But I'm big on the West, like I'm big in the South. So we gon' pay some people off, we gon' figure it out.
That's YG, that is Who Do You Love? I recommend, that is a click, that's a click to click,
if it ain't too big,
it's a pick to click, Jesus.
Yeah, we like that. I like this one a lot.
Now, there's a great many people who wonder about your affinity for this hip-hop music, and certainly I'd like to ask you.
Go ahead, General.
Well, what is your affinity for this?
Well, as I've said many times, first of all, it's an interesting question. Why wouldn't I have? Why, because I'm white? Yeah.
Yeah, you're being racist.
I'm not being. Don't give me that load of hooey. You know as well as I do it's weird to have some lumbering slob like you putting on the baseball cap backwards and going, hey, yeah, wow, you know.
What are you talking, putting on the baseball cap backwards?
Well, what does this do for you?
For I've said many times, the reason why I like hip-hop is, at this stage of my life, it turns out, and I never planned on this, it turns out that the kind of anger and arrogance, but mostly the kind of anger and sort of retributional attitude that infuses so much hip-hop is exactly how... Now, I know I did this whole thing in the pre-show, you know, about how I've grown up.
Well, you said that you don't longer have the chip on your shoulder.
Right, and I mean that. I mean that. But it's a very, very healthy expression of pure anger at a society that is truly a society that sends more mixed messages than you could possibly handle. So these guys are saying, you know, I have a lot of money. I have a lot of women. I've got a lot of prestige. I've got a lot of power. I have the power now, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, but he's insulting his friends and all you N-words, you know.
Well, he may be talking about other black guys, but I think, you know, if truth be told, he's talking about the whole world. When he says you N-words, he's saying all of you people, all of you, white and black. You can't do anything about it. Now, I have... And I worked my ass off, and I went, you can't believe the untold crap. And now it doesn't matter whether you understand me or not. Now it doesn't matter whether you accept me or not. Now it doesn't matter whether you, you know, for years and years and years and years, we try to get you to understand the socioeconomic reality, blah, 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 all that other bullshit. And guess what? Now I don't care, because now I have everything I want. In the immortal words of our great close personal friend, you know, Ice-T, I'm caked out.
Well, I find it hard to believe that our young people are that cynical.
What about Lupe Fiasco? And look, there's some positive rappers all over the place.
I'm not saying there aren't positive rappers. I'm not. Lupe Fiasco's great. I'm not saying any of that. Lupe Fiasco is positive to a point, but even he gets very sarcastic and cynical. I'm just saying, most of the ones that I really enjoy, the way that, you know, that one guy enjoyed that Tea Party candidate.
Oh, Larry Grover, he enjoyed that Bevins guy. That gave me the creeps the way he enjoyed him.
Well, if it's homoerotic.
No, I'm saying I like this music because, to me, it's honest. All right, let's get to some other... Now, let me hear something here, man. I'm not hearing the chirping no more, and we're still on the air. So what does that mean, Bud Dickman?
It means... the...
What does it mean, man? I don't want that thing chirping no more, dig?
What do you mean, chirping no more, dig? What are you saying?
Phil's talking about a technical matter, God. Just ease back, will you?
I want to be informed of every move on this show.
Margaret, it's technical. It's technical. We have generators that are in studio. I think we need to move those generators out, Bud. And these are for power failures, which is fine. But when there's a power failure, and the generator is losing battery power, so now here we're on the air and I'm hearing... Or I'm hearing, as I was just hearing, beep, 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 beep. You know.
How do you know that that's not the, what do you call it, the other, what is the thing that goes, what's the one that goes, whoop, boop, boop? You know the one?
Which one are you talking about, General?
The one in the middle of the god, do you remember the night I called you up, Phil, because Patsy and I were going ape crap? Patsy looked like she was going to go monkey.
And she said to me, to use the term you use, Margaret, she said, General, why don't you monkey up and fix it? And I said, you're telling me to monkey up. It's not enough that I man up. Now you want me to go to a level higher and monkey up.
Will you tell me what it is you're talking about?
Talking about the smoke detector.
There you go, right there. The smoke detector.
All right, then what? God damn.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking? You're sitting here going, Patsy tells you to monkey up.
That, by the way, is a term that I invented. I monkey up. When you push me too hard, and friend, I don't just woman up, I ape up. You have a filth. You know what, Phil? Your mind is a receptacle. I can't even talk.
My mind's a receptacle for what? Toilet?
Yeah, there you go. It's a recept. It's a toilet. That's a receptacle, isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
Well, that was very...
You're very pleasant.
It was very pleasant. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Thank you very much, Pastor Renick, but we can't use any of your bullshit this morning. Excuse me. No, I'm just joking. Tennessee is bringing back the electric chair, bud.
Yay!
I'm kidding. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I saw an article, and the way they butchered up that lethal injection, man, I haven't heard anybody carving up an execution that way in a long time. That guy did he have a heart attack? Is that what happened?
I think. I'm supposed to be in the bathroom. Excuse me.
Anybody know?
Phil, I'll take it from here. She's going in and out of there like she's Margaret. You're in and out like a toilet seat. You know, oh, that's...
No, that's up and down like a toilet.
All right, you're in and out like a penis. Oh, I'm sorry.
God damn you.
All right. She's just going in and out of there too much.
That's what she said.
I'm going to come and get... All right, take it easy.
Anyway, that guy had a heart attack, I think, and that's what butchered up that lethal injection. Now... I saw an article by, I believe it was a bill introduced in Utah, that they want to bring back the firing squad.
Now, I'm all for that. The firing squad, you get three good riflemen. Friend, there's no doubt in the world.
Well, you understand, though, that the firing squad was ruled, I believe, cruel and unusual, or there was some accusation. It was not ruled that way. It was taken to the Supreme Court after a man in the 19th century in the state of Utah, or at that time it might have been the territory of Utah, was not hit directly in the heart. He was shot in the arm. He was hit, I think, somewhere in the chest. He fell forward and then got up and said something to the effect of, you guys blew it, or you didn't do it right, I'm still alive, something like that. This is a very, very famous Supreme Court case.
Get out of here.
Gamelson, I mean, you make up some funny ones.
What are you, I'm telling you, it's true.
Are you trying to tell me, Henry, run that by me again.
This is, look, and I'm not even going to argue with you about it, okay? There is a Supreme, look up Supreme Court firing squad, 19th century, you'll find the case, okay?
All right, I'll do it right now, and my... On a lip, not a laptop. What do they call this?
Laptop. That's not a laptop. That's an iPad.
What?
It's not a laptop. It's an iPad.
It's the same thing. Don't worry about it.
Don't look at Dickman. Don't blow my mind. Is this a laptop or is it not?
It's a laptop. It's not the same as a computer. It's more like an iPhone. It's called an iPad. Only it's a big phone. Okay.
Well, I can't call anybody on it.
Don't worry. So,
God damn, why don't you people speak English around here, okay? I don't know what I'm using from one day to the next.
Damn water.
No, no shit.
All right, go get some. So, the, they want to bring back firing squad. Now, there was that one botched firing squad. I don't know how many there have been. I don't know how many botched executions there have been. We only know of them now because the capital punishment is so much in the news and so much in the public debate that we hear about everything, you know, every screwed up one, although, you know, the agenda that the press has now when it comes to capital punishment is a mind blower, man. We keep bringing up the story of Roger Coleman, the guy whose DNA was finally tested, the guy who was on the front page of Time magazine, Are we executing the wrong man? The guy who talked to high school students. The guy who talked to junior high students. The guy who was going to be the innocent man that they're sending to the chair. The guy that the state of Virginia, oh my God, it's a terrible thing. It was in the early 90s, and this is finally going to be the case. And you'll see, you'll know, that this guy was innocent and all his bullshit. And it went on forever. It went on forever, and it was international acclaim and international coverage. And there's Roger Coleman looking for all the world like the scumbag that he was, but he had the soft little milky eyes, and well, you know, and he would talk to high school students. I swear to God.
What are you talking about?
I haven't heard of this case.
Well, yeah, no wonder you haven't heard of the case. So what happened was, after he died, the Innocence Project took over, and they said, we want his DNA tested against the DNA that was found at the scene, and you're going to find out if we executed an innocent man. Now, never has it ever been proven that an innocent person has been executed. Hear me again. Never, ever, ever has it ever been proven that an innocent person's been executed. People who are against capital punishment would have you believe that it has. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. That's number one. The one case they thought they finally had was the Roger Coleman case. Oh, wait till this one comes back. You guys are going to, your mothers are going to wish they never met your fathers. It's going to be, oh, yeah. So they finally test the DNA from the crime scene against Roger Coleman's, the guy that they put away for this, the guy they stuck in the chair or the lethal or whatever the hell it was, the guy that went, the last words out of this scumbag's mouth were, you're putting to death an innocent man. He had control to the bitter end. You got to when you're a psychopath. There wasn't any way he could get out of dying, but he found a better way. He would control the public discourse on this thing. People got conned like you wouldn't believe. And one of the most fascinating things I ever saw in my life was his attorney on the phone with the lab and with the other attorneys. When the DNA test came back, the guy that was with the Innocence Project, the guy that was going to prove Roger Coleman's innocence, there he is, on the phone.
Phil, are you telling this story again?
Yes, I am.
Oh, God, he's always trotting this one out when he...
Well, you know what? I'm going to keep trotting it out, Margaret, until people like you, yes, I said people like you, can't stand it any longer, and you jump off a cliff or something.
Yeah, you wish. You wish. It'll take a lot more than that, Phil. I stand against the death penalty today, and I always will. I'm Margaret Gray.
Great, great, great. But let me just finish this, and then we'll take a break. So the DNA comes back. There's the attorney on the phone. He says, yeah? Yeah? 90%, huh? The smile never left his face, and he never stopped writing, but you could see the tension begin to kind of fill the face out a little bit. You could see the disappointment. The smile turned more into a grimace. The pen kept writing, and right there before your very eyes, you saw a man going from firm conviction that the guy that he was defending all those years after death was innocent, and you saw the look of a man who realized that he'd been played. And there it was on TV. And that guy's face probably was reflective of every single face of every single chump that thought this guy, Roger Coleman, a murderer, a rapist, a violent murderer and rapist, what he did to it. This was his sister-in-law that he attacked. That guy played the whole freaking world, man. I mean, that is a psychopath's dream. That's a psychopath's wet dream. He played and controlled the whole world. Now, the upshot on this, the postscript, is the following. I went to Time Magazine for the very month, for the very week, for the very date that Roger Coleman's DNA came back as positive match with the crime scene. I went to Time to see if they'd report it. Do you know that Time Magazine never even reported? Not in the month that I looked at. It was a month of January. I went to the date, and then I went to the same week, because Time is a weekly. Nope. I went to the month. Nope. I looked up Roger Coleman. I tried to find his name anywhere in that month in Time Magazine. Nowhere.
Oh, I don't believe that. You are accusing one of the most prestigious news. I refuse to believe.
I'm telling you, it's true.
You're telling me that Time Magazine ran like a bunch of punks. They ran and hid like bitches.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But everybody know Time Magazine, one of the top magazines that's ever been.
Yeah, they're almost as good as like Newsweek or Rolling Stone or something like that. Not Mad Magazine or anything.
Yeah, no, they're not as good as Mad Magazine.
Are you guys nuts? Mad's not a news magazine.
I mean, Mad Magazine, I mean, the other one that they do, they come out weekly, you know.
Spy?
Not Spy. The point is, I didn't see it. Now, somebody may want to find it for me, but I didn't see it. Now, that's about as gutless.
Oh, you can say that. What a bunch of pussies.
General, you're spitting that up.
Yes, I am spitting. If there's one thing I don't like, it's some guy that pussies up. Brother, that's all bets are off for me. That's what everybody gets rolling, okay? 0800, we go in.
Yeah, all right, General.
All right, General, me.
I'm sorry, sir, but it's just... I will be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll have more of this marvelous Friday. Oh, God, it's Friday, baby! I'm heading down to San Diego for a couple of days. We will have a show on Memorial Day. We will have a show on Memorial Day. I say again, we won't have a show. I'm kidding. We will have a show on Memorial
Day.
Just
let it go, don't wanna argue anymore.
Right, just let it go, Phil. You will have a show on Memorial Day.
I can't be sure I know just what we're fighting for.
This is All That Remains.
I know you're scared and that you're thinking I may go. I'm not leaving.
I like this song. This song is great. This reminds me of Patty or Patsy. What's my wife's name?
Ben.
That's right.
Might be led astray.
Do, 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 do. Oh, I like this part. What if I was nothing?
Percoins sells trucks. Hello, everyone. This is General Galen Shaw for Percoins Trucks in the Auto Mall. Percoins sells trucks. If you need a truck and you can identify what a truck is and you can describe it to us, we'll get one for you because that's all we sell. No, we don't know what they look like. We're not even sure we know what they are, but we sell them.
Yes, if you can describe a truck to your Percoins salesman, he'll go find one and sell it to you.
Percoins sells trucks. We're pretty sure we do.
What if I was nothing? What if this is true?
This is the Phil Henry Show.
What if I was nothing, girl? Nothing without you. So what if I was angry? What did you think I'd do? I told you that I love you, girl. Nothing without you.
Lovely song there from All That Remains. What if I was nothing? And what, Margaret?
I want to know. I know this is none of my business. Actually, you know what? I should let Bobby Dooley ask. She had the question.
Is she going to come on the show?
Yeah, Bud.
Yeah, I'll get Ms. Dooley on. She had a question for you. I know her and Margaret was talking about a question that they wanted to have. They had a question that they want. Ms. Dooley? Hold on. Ms. Dooley? Ms. Dooley? It's Bud Dickman. Bud Dickman.
If you guys...
Bud Dickman.
Hold on. If you guys don't start getting people...
Bud Dickman.
Will you...
Yes, here she is.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
We had a question, Shane.
Yes, you ask him.
We had a question, Phil, and I know that this is going to sound rude, and I don't mean it to sound rude, but my question is a very simple question. Can you tell me if... Can you tell me if you get, I don't know how to put it.
Just say it.
Do you get laid?
Excuse me. You asked me, do I get laid?
Yes. Do you get laid?
I don't want to answer that question. That's none of your business.
All right. It probably isn't any of our business, and that's all right, Phil, but...
No, we just want to know if you get laid.
That's my husband, Steve.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing it. Get laid?
I already answered your wife. I said it's none of your business.
Well, is that a no or a yes?
That's none of your business.
That's probably no.
It's probably a no. And the reason why I say no...
No, that's not... It's nothing. It's none of your business. What is your question?
Well, our question is simply this. I was watching you on your video cast doing all these funny voices. And it's so unsexy. I can't imagine any woman wanting to...
Really?
Yes.
Phil, there's nothing against you. You know that I love you as a brother. As a brother. But when I watch you doing all of your funny little voice, it's so
Yeah, I know I speak for a lot of women.
Well, good. I'm glad you speak for a lot of women. And what can I tell you? If you speak for a lot of women, you speak for a lot of women.
Wait, that doesn't bother you.
No, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but don't you want to get laid?
It's none of your business, Mr. Dooley. If you ask me that question one more time, I'm going to ban both of you from the show. How about that?
That's being very touchy.
Phil, that's going to prove that you don't get laid.
Why would that prove that?
Because you don't want to be asked the question. You're just going to go, oh, keep it away.
Yeah, you want it to be kept in the way.
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, they do have it. Do you get laid?
If you ask me, bud, I'm going to belt you. I'm going to throw Margaret out of here, everybody.
What about me?
Well, are you interested?
Well, moderately, yeah.
Then you go out, too.
What about me?
You interested?
In what?
Whether I get laid or not?
I don't give a damn.
Then you can stay.
But I am kind of moderately...
All right, then everybody gets cleared out of here, okay?
Well, Phil, if you want to be a child about it, I think it's a very valid question, and I think a lot of people want to know. Are you getting your ashes hauled?
No, whoa, hold on for a minute. What is this coming from?
Phil, Bobby called me late last night and said that she had just watched the video cast, and she was putting cold cream on her face, staring into the mirror, and very feeling very troubled, right, dear?
Yes, I was putting on the cold cream mask, and I had my hair up in a towel. In other words, I looked like a 1950s movie. Okay? Which one I want to look like.
Yeah, my wife looks like Doris Day and everything when she goes to the bathroom.
Yeah, and I try to look that way.
Your wife looks like Doris Day when she goes to the bathroom.
I mean, when she's in the bathroom.
When I'm in the bathroom and I'm sitting and I'm doing things. No, not when I'm on the toilet. Do you know what Doris Day looks like on the toilet?
Well, I mean, in my mind's eye, I've many times, you know.
Oh, okay, well, Steve's probably imagined it.
Yeah, I'll bet he has. Good thing you don't have an apple crate anywhere near Doris Day's bedroom window, or bathroom window, I should say.
Well, bye,
dear you, Steve.
All right, look, this is not a conversation that I want to have, all right?
No, I didn't think that you would. But, Mr. Henry, I'm simply asking you, do you get...
I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business. And for you to think that because I do a weird show and I'm doing character voices and I'm looking strange on the camera, that obviously women are not going to be interested in me, you know, I'm not going to talk you out of that. Am I interested? Obviously, I'm not attractive to you, right?
I didn't say that, Mr. Henry. I said... Do you get laid?
Do you find me attractive?
Do I find you attractive?
What does that mean?
I'm sorry. Do you find me attractive?
Only from the standpoint of you have some notoriety, and it would be a notch on my belt. Well,
yeah, my wife, it would be a notch on her belt if she mounted it.
Yeah, but not anything. No, I'm not interested in you for sex or anything other than...
Having a notch on your belt.
Yeah, a minor notch.
It would be like there's Major League Baseball. There.
All right, I've heard enough. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley. And I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you're not going to change anything. You're not going to start dressing better and acting more sexual. More of the sexuality, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
All right, Mr. Henry, I'm at least you heard us out. That's all I want to know about, you know.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve.
Uh-huh.
There's two of the dumbest human beings that I've ever talked to.
Well, it is a valid question, Phil.
You know what, Margaret? If it's a valid question, it's a valid question, okay? And, you know, I'm not even going to ask you, all right?
Well, and I would not answer that in a million... Are you going to ask me what if I was single, I may consider it, given what Bobby's excuses, what she just said. All right, and I also understand that you...
You understand what?
Nothing.
All right,
that it's kind of thick.
Will you I'm going to kick your ass, man.
You're always threatening to kick his ass, and you never do.
I'll kick your ass. So let's go ahead and just take a big break here. What a left turn that was. Mr. Henry, do you get laid a lot?
You know something, now that I think about it, that is pretty rude. And for you, Gray, you got some pear on you.
I don't have a pear on me, thank you.
I'm speaking in the figurative sense. Yes, you do. You've got two big boobs. You're not,
Excuse me. I have to vomit.
Thank you.
What do you mean, thank you? You're thanking me for vomiting?
Yeah, thanking you for leaving the room. How about that?
Oh, stick it up your...
Yeah, see you later. I'm telling you, I'm about at the end of my rope. It's the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and we got one more break to do here. Come back for one more segment here and try to...
Woo!
We got one more segment to do here, and we'll come back from that as soon as we get done with that and this and everything else. The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Honorable Senior.
We're live and mobile on TuneIn. Live and mobile on our Listen Live feature at philhenryshow.com. We'll be back right after Meek Mill here. And I don't know.
I don't know what these niggas speaking of. I don't know what these niggas tripping now.
Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico.
Niggas, I suggest you do. Boy, if you do, you must be suicidal. Don't say my name unless you're suicidal. Don't get too close unless you're suicidal. Touch my niggas, I suggest you don't. Boy, if you do, you must be suicidal.
Money won't ease us. Man, niggas even had it on Jesus. Living life on the road, on the chase for the money, cause the hoes won't please us. Jesus told us there's blood on the leaves. Ain't no love in the streets. Let her run into me.
Welcome back on the Phil Henry Show. So I guess Mark Cuban has apologized.
What?
Mark Cuban apologizes for controversial comments. I guess it got too much for him. We do have, is this a video of this, Bud?
Yeah, this would be the video of the Mark Cuban.
Oh, it would, huh? Well, let's just see what we can do here. We'll listen to his comments and see what you guys think of this. I don't know, but apparently in... overnight or in recent memory here, or just within the last 5 seconds, I don't know which, Mark Cuban has apologized for these comments that he made. Let's see what he has to say.
It's not.
Oh, is this still, this is still the commercial, huh?
This is the hospital commercial.
I can still hear that chirping damn thing, man.
One credit union.
Let's chirping thing. Together. Cricket?
It's the damn thing, man.
This goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of.
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is creating a stir with the comments he made just before that. Some say it is reality. Others call it racist. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tracy Cornett. Mark Cuban talked prejudice and bigotry at a recent conference, all on the heels of the Donald Sterling controversy. CBS 11's Guy Rawlings joins us now with more on exactly what
this is. Is this the channel?
Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, as we all know,
is this the
was a featured speaker
it may be,
at a
I don't
conference
know.
In Nashville hosted by Inc. magazine called GrowCo. It's aimed at entrepreneurs trying
to... Were there blacks at this thing? Hold on, General.
Hundreds of attendants from across the country.
Well, this guy's black.
Cuban was there to speak about his success as a business owner and entrepreneur during a presentation that lasted about 45 minutes. During a question and answer period following his presentation, Cuban made some candid comments about bigotry and prejudice that sparked a firestorm of attention.
He doesn't like any black.
And social media alike.
That.
Here's Cuban's comment about dealing with some of his own fears.
I mean, we're all prejudiced in one way or the other. If I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of.
Cuban also said he already knows how he's going to vote on the Donald Sterling ownership of the L.A. Clippers.
He's all in favor of Sterling.
Comments. And on the question of keeping bigotry out of the NBA.
It's impossible.
Says, quote, you don't. There's no law against stupid, unquote. This afternoon, I spoke with an attendant of that conference who sat front row center during Mark's presentation. Entrepreneur Steve Noodleberg says he's not surprised by the attention and feels that Cuban's comments are being taken out of context.
But Noodleberg is changing his last name.
That to me is the tragedy of this thing, is that the information he shared with us in a 45-minute to an hour conversation was so genuine, so helpful.
Oh, shut up.
Real.
So let me give you the bottom line on this, guys, because I don't want to keep belaboring this. Cuban, it is said here, as of this hour, has apologized for this. They said it's a Trayvon Martin reference. He never said shit about Trayvon Martin. Dallas Maverick owner Mark Cuban apologized Thursday to Trayvon Martin's family over his choice of words in a videotaped interview in which he addressed bigotry and prejudice. Cuban even revealed some of his own prejudices in the interview with Inc. magazine and said he believes everyone has prejudices and bigotries to some level. But after his words, which come with the NBA still dealing with the fallout over most racist remarks, rather by now banned L.A. Clipper owner Donald Sterling created a stir in social media and other circles. Cuban took to Twitter to offer his apology. In hindsight, I should have used different examples. I didn't consider the Trayvon Martin family, and I apologize to them. But he's still upset with black kids in hoodies. Is that what we're...
Well, that's what it seems like.
I'm not trying to lean on Mark Cuban, although I've heard Cuban say things that he doesn't think about. He just says them, and people go, oh, well, he's rich, and he's fun, and he owns the Dallas Mavericks, and he hops around on the court, and he buddies up with his black players. He must be cool. It's all good. And, okay, fine, but because I don't party with Mark Cuban or know his world, I guess I can say stuff that I say, and I'm not influenced by that, although some people may think, well, yeah, just because you don't party with him, Phil, that's why you're pissed off. Well, frankly, I can think of more fun people to party with, you know, and they ain't the same gender as Cuban, if you want to get right down to it.
Yay.
All right. All right, moving on. Cuban also said he stands by the substance of the interview. All right, meaning black kids in hoodies, just not Trayvon Martin. Let's see. We're all prejudiced one way or another. When shown that excerpt of the interview, Chris Bosch of Miami cringed. It's just a sensitive time. Chris Bosch of the Miami Heat cringed when he saw Mark Cuban's comment. Cuban has not revealed how he will vote on the June 3rd thing. Cuban has, however, cautioned that the Sterling matter is a very slippery slope. Yada, yada, yada. Why don't you shut up, Mark? Seriously, you're saying stuff that you're not thinking about. I know about these things because I talk every day for a living. And when you're talking about stuff and you don't think about what it is you're saying.
Well, look, you failed your point as well. You've got to. It was like you said about that one nut. Who's the guy that said the nappy-headed?
Yeah, that's Don Imus. He carved it up.
That wasn't funny, man.
It was kind of funny.
No, it wasn't funny. That's an example of what we're talking about. When you don't think about what you're saying, you just say it. And there's a lot of examples of that. You wind up apologizing or you wind up sounding like an ass. Geraldine Ferraro, who was at one time a candidate for vice president of the United States, said during the campaign leading up to Obama's election, she said, people are voting for him because he's black. Now, that may be true, but she couldn't explain it. She could, when they asked her to explain, when they asked her, could you please elucidate, could you please illuminate, could you please something that ends with eight, or have you eaten, or would you like to eat? And she said, don't mind if I do. And
would you get to it, Phil?
Sorry. So she said, you know, and they she couldn't. Well, what I mean is, he's black. She just got, it made it worse, man. If you ask Don Imus, why'd you say nappy-headed hoe? If he had a really good answer for that, like a good answer that entailed some reference to satire, and not just say it's satire. That's what most of these lightweights do now. They say something asinine, and then they say, well, why? Well, it was satire, don't you get it? Okay, if he was being interviewed by a really good reporter, that reporter would say, oh, really? And tell us how that's relative to satire. Tell us what is satirical. What is the target there? What isn't the target? So anyway, here comes Cuban. Now, he said a lot of stupid stuff in his days. Not a problem, you know. And he just said another one, man. But even when he says he stands by the substance of what he's saying, the substance of what he's saying is black kids in hoodies. He didn't say Trayvon. He shouldn't have said that because of Trayvon Martin, but he still believes it.
No, he said, what are you saying?
He didn't say he believes in Trayvon Martin. He just believes in the black kid in the hoodie.
Yeah.
What do you mean he believes in the black kid in the hoodie?
What he said was, the reason why Mark Cuban isn't racist is because he is only exclusively afraid of blacks in hoods. Now, I don't know if that includes women.
Yeah, that's you're doing a real good job there, General.
Oh, why don't you drop down and lick it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I better go help him.
Yeah, what, unzip?
I don't need help unzipping.
Yeah, the more people talk about this stuff, the dumber they sound. So, there you go.
Well, that includes you, Phil.
Well, I mean, it may be, but at least I know what I believe, you know? Look, if a guy is in a hoodie and he's black, let me tell you about a guy with tattoos on his face. I go to a Starbucks every day, or I used to go to a Starbucks every day. I don't anymore, but when I was drinking those big 300-calorie Venti lattes, and there was a guy there every day with tattoos on his face. Every single day this cat was hanging out there, nighttime, morning time, whatever, okay? turned out to be the guy with the tattoos on his face at the Starbucks. Now, the first time I saw the guy, I had certain, I made certain assumptions about him.
Well, what were those?
I don't know, that the guy was eccentric. I didn't think he was criminal because there he was at a Starbucks. Now, if he'd been walking down a street with the tattoos on his face, I suppose you can say any cat that tattoos his face obviously has very little concern for what the world thinks. Does that mean he's criminal? And by the way, walking across the street to the other side when there's a guy coming down the street intending to harm you, that ain't necessarily going to cause him to think again. He may just follow your ass to the other side of the street, depending upon how many people there are, what time of night, etc. What makes you think that walking across the street is going to save your ass? These and other questions we'll answer here on the Phil Henry Show at some future date, but we sure as hell can't answer them right now. All right, folks. Is that all we got?
I think that's all we have for today's show. Now, tell everyone we will be back, ladies and gentlemen, on Monday. There will be a show on Monday.
Yes, we're going to have a show Monday. We'll have a Memorial Day show on Monday. We did have a bit of a shortened show today because of this technical issue that we're dealing with here. I really want to get this looked at. I'm listening to a chirping here, a chirping sound that is causing my jaws to slowly tighten as we speak. So, you know, what can I tell you? World famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. I do heartily encourage you to get yourself a backstage pass. The backstage pass is available at philhenryshow.com, and it's a beautiful thing. You can get a one of two levels, I should say. You can get a backstage pass, which is the all access. You can get a backstage pass, which is audio only. The all access gives you the video cast. It gives you all of our video archives, as well as other video casts that we've done, as well as our interview segments that we've done, for instance, with television shows, our TV pilots, panels that we've been on, etc., etc., so on and so forth. So check it all out there. Have yourselves a great weekend. So excited. Looking forward to June the 5th. I can't thank you enough for turning out in force, guys. We got a big sellout, so it's going to be a party. And, oh, a couple of things. Number one, we are going to have some CDs to sell and to autograph for you the night of the show. We finally have got 8x10 pictures, because people have asked for pictures. I've got them. We'll autograph them, and we'll roll those out the night of the show. And we're already talking about the next show that we want to do. And it will be in the L.A. area. And then we're going to move on out to, I just talked to somebody this morning on our pre-show, one of our BSPs in Phoenix. We've got a couple of really good venues in the Phoenix and Tempe area that we're looking at as well. So it seems as if, and we'll see, but it seems as if we have begun the next leg of, Bud, what would you call it?
The Phil Henry Experience.
Thank you. And until such time... You can do it, Margaret.
I was going to say the Phil Henry Experience. Hit it.
It's like this was an idea of getting some of these younger players who haven't been a part of the national team some experience in a huge...
Rich game. If you hating, you just need some pussy. Rich. She fucked up when she gave me some pussy.
What was that I just heard? Oh, my God. Here's Rich, the Rich Gang, and Tap Out. And we'll see you on Monday for our Memorial Day show.
You sound like a...
It's Rich Gang and Tap Out.
Are you listening to the words of this?
My bitch will choose it. Love her, never fuck with
her. This is fantastic.
Sweet yellow bone.
I don't think you couldn't possibly get laid and listen to music like this.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Margaret. But you know what? I'd rather listen to music like this.
I say just keep it, get laid.
Bend it over, bust it open.
Yeah, with some nights, you bet.
Bend it over, bust.
See you Monday, guys.
Yeah, she say she love me, she just love this dick. Come put that $1 million pussy on me, make me rich. Don't you?
She got that $1 million.
The world famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network. I'm going to be sick.
Make a tap out, tap out, tap out, tap out, tap out. Yeah. And I'ma make a tap out, tap out,
all day, all night.
Tap out, tap out.
Yeah. Yeah.
crib made a tap out. Sauna made a tap out. Jet made a tap out. Pilot with the map out. Million on the diamonds. Million on the kitchen. Millions on the Maybach. Glass top ceiling. $1 million pussy. Sleeping on Versace. Sleeping on a Fendi. Sleeping on Cavalli. Married to the money. Millions in the bank. Alexander McQueen. Rich in the paint. I got that fuck you if you love me on some nigga shit. She got that $1 million, seven figure nigga rich. We switch positions like we doing yoga in this bitch. She get the shaking then stiff. She got that $1 million, ooh, ooh, ooh. She got that $1 million. Make a tap out, tap out.
Inch pumps, play with his balls, dunks, bow head, yup, don't want no Forrest Gumps. Don't let me tell you twice, already told you once.
Eat that pussy. Who got the baddest pussy on the planet? D-boys love me, they don't understand it. Oh, D-dog.
$1 million pussy might pounce on that ass. Throw them hundreds till I lose counts on that ass. Max out all of them accounts on that ass. $1 million checks don't bounce on that ass. Pull up in that, you can't afford this. Only rap bitch on the Forbes list. Pussy jewelry make them say purr, man. Rubs hands like birds.
She got that $1 million. Rich guy.
$1 million.
Gypsum skin and you talk about religion. I'm in prison with the pussy and I'm falling no cushion.